Well, amen. That was a good job by our children's choir, the younger children's choir, and then the older children's choir. They practice every Sunday afternoon. And you need, if you're a member of the church here, you need to get your children involved in the children's choir. Those are going to fill the choir here for too long, going to be playing the pianos and doing all the work that God has for them to do. And they did a great job tonight. We really appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. As we have been looking into and studying the Christmas story. And for a few weeks now, we've been looking at what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, God becoming man. That thought in itself is just amazing thought. The idea that he was manifested to defeat the works of the devil. That's what the Bible says, and that's what he did, and how that impacted our lives. And all the different messages we've been studying and looking into, we heard the message of song tonight, and what a blessing it is. And so now one more message I want to present to you tonight, found in Luke in chapter 2. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read verse 8 down to verse 11. Verses 1 through 7 is the most familiar account in the scriptures of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt you've probably read that today at some point. If you've been in Sunday school, if you're in church, you've read it. But we're going to be looking at verse 8 down to verse 11. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we come to you and with a thankful heart and just realizing how blessed we are to live in this great country that we live in, to have the freedom of worship, to be able to come out and assemble here together as your church, have your presence in this place with us, to be able to see our children having a desire to sing praises unto you through this Christmas program, and then to be able to open up your precious word, the Bible, that you have preserved for us for all this time so that we might know the revelations of an almighty God. Thank you for that. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture tonight, I believe that you have a message for each one of us that are here tonight through the preaching of thy word. And I ask God that you would give each one of us that ear to hear what you have to say to us individually. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand just to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. For unto you is born, and this is a proclamation of the angel that God sent to reveal this to the shepherds this day, indicating that there was a day when God became flesh, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There was a day, and he was born of a virgin in this little town of Bethlehem. In all the world, God chose that little place, that little speck of property on this planet Earth to send forth his only begotten Son to be born, to identify with humanity, to live a sinless life as to give us an example of what Christianity is truly all about. To die for our sin, debt of sin that we all, each and everyone, owe and cannot pay. To die as a sacrificial lamb. To be buried, only to be resurrected on the third day. And then to ascend up to heaven, which the Bible says to ever live to make intercession for those that would receive the gift of salvation. He is your mediator between God and man. He is your intercessor. But it would not have taken place. None of that would be available to us, and there would not be the great joy that the angels were revealing to the shepherds here unless there was a day that he was born. Now, as a Christian nation, many of us all know that we have set that date aside as a Christian calendar that we of the United States of America has adopted. And we have set a date, just whether it was December 25th or not, it could be close. But more than anything else is to acknowledge a day. God wanted us to acknowledge a day, or he would not have had the angels, and he would not have recorded it for us to look to when it says, "For unto you is born this day." This day. Can I say to you tonight that everyone has certain days that we remember that brings joy to our hearts? If you look back over your life, there's no doubt there are days that you can just remember as if it was yesterday, possibly. And every time you remember that day, you remember the joy that it brought to your heart. I've seen a lot of the young people up here, and of course the little ones, and what a blessing they are. And standing up here and just get a kick out of watching them, amen? And trying to figure out what they were taught to sing. And then the little older ones there, but I believe all of them are under 13 years of age. And I remember that one of the days that I looked forward to when I was that age was becoming a teenager. Most all of them, at least once they get past 7 or 8, and they realize, hey, teenage years, that's what I'm looking for. That's the days that most parents dread the most. You look back when that was not the happy days of my life. Amen? Getting them through the teenage years. But as a child, and if you look at your life, that was possibly a day that you look back to and say, I remember the day I became a teenager because I looked forward to that day and it finally came. Possibly the day that you graduated from high school is the day that you realize accomplishment. Your parents, no doubt, that's the day they remember, finally got them through high school. What a great accomplishment. You walk forward and you get that diploma and you realize at that point that, wait a minute, I have been playing around all this time. Life is serious now. And then possibly the day that you got married. You can possibly still look back and remember that day that you stood before God and your family and friends and into the eyes of that person that you were about to make vows to live together till death do you part. And I believe that day ought to remain a special day, and that day ought to be a day that brings joy to your heart, and that day ought to be a day that you remember and never forget the vows that you made before God and be faithful to those vows. But it brought joy, brings joy to your heart. Possibly the birth of your first child or all of your children. For the mother, it's finally, 9 months is over, amen? Bring this child into this world. And then you're reminded of that for the rest of your life with your children. It's my birthday. I want this, I want that. It's my birthday. And so they help you to remember the day that you brought him into this life, and God blessed you with that life to raise for him. If you're saved, no doubt you might not remember the exact date, but you can remember the experience. If you're saved, you have to be able to go back and remember the experience of realizing that I was lost. Somebody told me about Jesus and the gift that he offered me of eternal life, and I believed and I received it. That day changes a person's life. Everyone has certain days. In Luke in chapter 2, a day that God brings to our attention. This Bible is the Word of God. Every word of it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We ought to live by every word. And if you look in verse 11, the angel, what he is proclaiming to the shepherds and to all the world in every generation, for unto you is born this day. This day. When God sent his only begotten Son. When God himself was manifested in the flesh. A day that has the potential to bring great joy to all the world. And that's what he said before then. If you look there in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, don't be afraid of it. Behold, I bring you good tidings. This is a good thing. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For God so loved the world, all people. And this can be a day that you'll never forget. This can be a day that will bring great joy into your life when you realize what it represents. A day that has the potential to bring great joy to all the world. A day that has and is and will continue to have an impact on all people, whether they receive him or not. He impacted this world and humanity like no other day. Like no other birth. Not all allow it to bring to them the great joy that God wants it to bring to them. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God wants you to repent and receive Christ. And when you do, it does bring that great joy, but he does not force that. I preached this morning on the life of Jesus brings light to man. In John chapter 1, his life, his presence brings light, revelation in every area of my life to man. The Old Testament prophesied of this day. No doubt about it. If we look back, and we're just going to look at two real quick verses here that reveal clearly. I mean, it was throughout the Old Testament. Everything about the New Testament is revealed in the Old Testament. It was a mystery, but once you know it, you go look back into it and you see it throughout all the prophecies of God. But the Old Testament prophesies of this day in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah prophesies, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpretation, God with us. And that's exactly how it is presented in the New Testament. If you look in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible, the prophecy is this in verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 6, I'm sorry, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a child is born, a day a child is born unto us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Prophesied of this day. And then the New Testament reveals how this day came about. In the book of Luke in chapter 1. Prophesied that God brought it about. And Luke in chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, this is how it was brought about. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. New Testament reveals how this day came about. And now 2,000 years later, we sit in this Lighthouse Baptist Church, having our children remind us of the reason for this day that we celebrate. We sit and we open up the Bible and we read what God says about this day. But it's still up to each and every one of us to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have faith to read and study and know this Bible and what it says. Our faith allows us to find this great joy when remembering this day. It will bring great joy to you if you know what the Bible says about it. Just a few things and what the Bible says about it that will bring you great joy if you by faith accept it and reveal it and receive it. This day is proof that there is a God and that He has a plan to redeem man. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A virgin born. It was not, Jesus was not the son of a man. He did not have sinless blood. He had God's blood. He was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was born just as the prophecies that God had revealed said He would be born. Matter of fact, I love what Paul writes to the church of Galatia there in Galatians in chapter 4. And this helps us to know that there's proof in that, because it's exactly what the Word of God revealed would take place and that did take place. And Paul says to them in Galatians in chapter 4 in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come," that means that God had that day in mind. He knew that He would lead up to that day and everything would be according to that day. The whole Old Testament was the meaning of the entire Old Testament. If you could break the Bible down into 3 points to simplify it, and I think that's what we ought to do. We ought to try to make the Bible as practical as what God wants it to be to apply it to our lives. And you can make it practical. You look at the Bible and say, how in the world can anybody fully understand everything about the Bible from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation? If you break it down and simplify it as God would have us to, the whole entire Old Testament could be point number one: Jesus is coming. Amen? That's what it's all about. The blood sacrifices was all symbolic of the blood that Christ would shed on Calvary's cross. The law was given so that mankind would realize that you're a sinner and you can't be perfect and you cannot be sinless in and of yourself. You cannot be good enough to make it to heaven. And so we have the Old Testament, and God says everything about the Old Testament is this one thing: the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus is coming. And then if you break down the New Testament to the first 4 books of the New Testament, which are the Gospels, it says this: this is the life of Christ. Jesus has come. This is who He is. If you're truly going to be a Christian, you got to be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is. If you don't know what Christ was like, there's no way you can be Christ-like. And the Gospels reveal to us the very life of Jesus Christ. From the book of Acts all the way through the book of Revelation, the third part of a 3-point outline: Jesus is coming again. What we focus on during this entire church age, we've been in this church age since Christ. He established a church. That was 2,000 years ago. And from the very beginning, the very first generation church, they were to live as if Christ was coming back for them in their generation. And that's exactly how God has presented it, the life for the church age for every generation. The one thing I know for sure, we're closer now than we've ever been before. Amen. I think the full revelation that God has revealed to us concerning the end days are upon us. The Laodicean age church and the dispensation of time that we're at right now. How can you not see what the Bible said would take place on this earth right before the rapture of the church? 3-point outline, simplify it. Jesus is coming, He's here, and He's coming again. When you look at it that way, what a blessing it is. It's proof. That day, the fact that Jesus was born is proof that God is real. God has a plan to redeem man. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. We are adopted into the very family of God. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the Holy Spirit of God, into your hearts, to dwell there, to seal you there, crying, Abba, Father. When you're saved, you realize you have a heavenly Father that you can look to and turn to. Amen. That's great joy. That day represents the fact that God is real. He has a plan to redeem man. And that brings great joy. This day proclaims God's love for all people. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's all humanity, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, while you were yet still a sinner, Christ died for you. Realize somebody loved you enough to die for you? What great love. What great joy. Somebody loved me enough to give the best they had. To give the to make the ultimate sacrifice. That'll bring great joy. This day makes us aware of the possibility of a changed life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new. No matter what your past life is, and can I tell you that everyone here has a past. Everyone here tonight will look back over the life and with regret saying, I wish I hadn't have done that, and I wish I would have done that. And we all have a past. But when you receive the gift that God has for you, when you acknowledge the fact that God loved you, he sent his only begotten Son to die for you, and he will save you, and he will give you a new beginning. A new beginning. A second chance. What great joy. If you've ever had a second chance at anything, you realize, what great joy. I'm going to take advantage of it this time. I'm going to do better. I'm going to make the most of it. You would hope that you would have that mentality when given a second chance. God says, if you receive my Son, I'll forgive you of all your sin. I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back to your account again. What great joy. Amen. What great joy. This day, if it hadn't have been for the birth of Christ, none of this would have been possible. But because Jesus did come, he was born. There was a day that God became man. Now because of that day, we have this great joy in knowing that I have a second chance. And if need be, if it's sincere, a third chance. Another chance. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Great joy. And then lastly, this day gives us confidence in all the promises of God. We didn't have this day. How could you really claim the promises? But if all the prophecies up to now have come to pass, we can believe the rest will too. One thing you'll never find, you'll never find God being deceitful. You'll never discover that God lied to you. Because he cannot lie. Satan can't tell the truth. He's the father of all lies and deceit. God does not tempt, and God does not lie. His promises are true. This day brings great joy into our hearts when we realize if God's promise of his coming was true, then I can believe every other promise that he's given to me. In Acts in chapter 1, he tells the believer that ye shall receive power, spiritual power to do his will. What great joy. I remember when God called me to preach, I ran from it for a long time because I feared it. The last thing anyone would have said about me, that you were going to become a public speaker. I scared to death to get in front of people. First time I taught a Sunday school class, I was scared to death. But then I realized that God would not call me to do something that he would not empower me to get it done. And when I realized that it wasn't me, it was God working through me, great joy. Great joy. There's not a time that I get up to speak. There's not a time that I get behind this pulpit that I don't turn it over to God and say, God, they're your people. It's your message. I'm just a servant. Empower me. Give me clarity of thought. Give me wisdom. Work through me to present your message. And when I realize it's not me, it's God, great joy. Whatever God's called you to do, can I tell you he'll empower you to get it done? If you look to him and trust in him, believe it, have faith to believe it. And when you do, can I tell you, it will bring great joy. Matthew chapter 28 and the great commission that Jesus gave his church and what he promised to them when they were going out into all the world and taking the gospel and leading people to Christ and establishing New Testament churches. The greatest thing about the great commission concerning the promise of God is Jesus says, and I am with you always. One of the scariest things I think I've ever done as a born-again believer is go door-to-door soul winning. Scary to knock on that door not knowing who's going to come and if they're going to accept it or reject it. But when you remember the promise, I'm with you. And you understand that that day revealed to me that Jesus Christ was God who was manifested in the flesh, and God who created all the worlds is omnipotent and omniscient and sovereign and eternal. Listen to me. If you know that he is with you, great joy when you knock on that door. Great joy when you talk to that coworker about their salvation. When you have a desire to witness to a lost family member. When you have a desire to witness to a neighbor. Whatever it might be, it's a fearful thing, and Satan wants to keep you afraid of doing what God has called us to do, and that is tell the world that Jesus saves. And when you have faith enough to believe in his promise, I'm with you. My dad was an auxiliary policeman. I remember many times he used to patrol out at the fairgrounds and at the Indians games in the old stadium. And he used to be able to take us out there because he was an auxiliary policeman. And so we'd get in free. Now, I remember going to the ball game out there several times. And as I went out there as a little boy, I'd look around and I was scared looking at all these people and looking at all these older, bigger boys and everything. And I remember being afraid until I realized whose son I was. And I looked over at my dad and he had strapped on his belt a 38, a pistol with bullets all around it. And my dad was a fairly big man. And when I realized that he was with me, and as long as I had a hold of his pant leg, I wasn't afraid of anybody. You want some of this? Come on. Yeah, why? Who was with me? His promise, Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. Doing my work, representing me, one thing you can find great joy in, I'm with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." How am I going to get through this? How am I going to have to deal with the loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a spouse? And then because of that day, I remember, he identified with life, with human life. He knows what it feels like. And he says, "My grace is sufficient." If you have faith to look to him, you'll find great joy in knowing that no matter what you go through, if you look to Christ, you'll find that grace to help in time of need. Great joy. Great joy. But in closing, possibly the greatest joy of all comes with the promise that he made in John in chapter 14 and verse 3 when he says, "I will come again." It hadn't been for the day that he was born, he couldn't have lived the perfect life. He couldn't have been the sacrifice for man's sin. He couldn't have been the sacrificial lamb. Would not have resurrected, would not have given to me eternal life, would not have given to me the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, would not have made all the promises, and possibly the greatest promise of all, "I will come again. Where I am, there you may be also." Somebody says, "Well, where is heaven?" I believe it's a different dimension. It's not out in outer space. It's a different dimension. You can't fully understand it. But what you need to understand is not where it's at and how it is and how... What you need to understand is wherever Jesus is. And wherever he is, he's alive. And he's promised that I will forever be with him. What a great promise. Do you believe in this day? Do you find great joy in understanding the blessings of this day when God became man? Sad to say, but some believe more in Christmas than they do in Christ. Do you find joy in Christmas and the trees and the giving of gifts and the holiday and the time off work? It's not about that. It's about, as the children sang, it's about Christ. And when you know it's about Christ, you'll be able to find great joy. If I could have every head bowed. Find joy in Christ tonight. It's available to you. It's available to all the world. It's what the angels said. That's what they proclaimed at that day. That day they proclaimed that to the shepherds. It's been written down and preserved for you and I to read it and for all the world to read it. If they would just simply have faith to believe it, they can find great joy. Are you claiming those promises that God's given to us? You could if you have faith to believe in them. It starts with having faith to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Stop trying to live a good enough life to make it to heaven. You can't do that. Simply believe and receive the gift that God has for you through Christ. You can do that tonight. You can start this second chance. You can start this new life in Christ. It can start here tonight. And it can lead you to experiencing great joy for the rest of your life. Would you begin it here tonight? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in just a minute we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity for you to come forward and let somebody take this Bible. It's not what this church, not just what this church teaches, it's what the Bible says. They will reveal to you exactly what God says in His Word that you have to do to be saved. And if you do that based on a a God who cannot lie, the words of a God who cannot lie, you can leave here knowing that you have everlasting, eternal life. This day will have more meaning for you than ever before, and you will find great joy. Don't leave here tonight without it. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church tonight. And I pray, God, even now, that as we go into this invitation time, I pray that we would remember the message that the children sang. Remember the message of this passage of Scripture that we've just read. God, help us to make the decisions that you'd want us to make. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.